Welcome to Black Belt Selling with Stephanie and Anna Scheller. I'm Anna. Normally, you hear, I'm Stephanie. But Stephanie's off breaking bricks today, of all things. She actually has become the keynote speaker for the Palooza here in San Antonio. And so I have the privilege of doing this show by myself. But I have an extraordinary guest today whom I'm very, very excited about interviewing. She's joining us all the way from Ireland. Her name is Neve Lynch. Neve, welcome to Black Belt Selling.
Hi, Anna. Thank you. I'm really excited to be here.
Now, for those of you that are in the United States, I have to tell you, I had to learn how to pronounce Neve's name because it's not spelled the way I would spell it if I was saying Neve. Her name is spelled N-I-A-M-H, but in Irish, it's pronounced Neve. Is that correct, Neve?
Exactly. We don't have any V's in Irish. In Gaelic, there's no V. So when you want a V, you have to do something really complicated with an M and a H.
Ah, very, very interesting. Now, Neve is the owner of two companies, Clockwork Blog and Neve Lee. And she's also a mother, obviously an entrepreneur, and she's very tech savvy. And as we start our interview today, I wanted to share a quote from Simon Mainwaring, and it is that social media is not to be an exploitation of technology, but rather a service to community. And I really think that sets the stage for what we're going to be talking about today on the show. So, Neve, tell our listeners a little bit about what you do.
Okay, perfect. Well, I find that it's easier if I start now and work my way back. So I have my two companies, which are aimed to helping small businesses and medium-sized businesses get more out of their websites. I live in Galway, which is in the west of Ireland, a very beautiful part of the country, but I haven't been here long. We moved back to Ireland from Spain about a year and a half ago. So I'm still finding my feet back in my native land. So before that, I was a freelance business writer in Barcelona in Spain. And before that, I was freelance for about a year. And before that, I worked in-house as a content strategist for a large software company. So that's where I've been for the last sort of 6 or 7 years with a baby in the middle of all that. I had a baby. So getting back on our feet, yeah, from motherhood and from moving country.
Well, earlier before we started recording, you know, everybody has to get started somewhere. So you had experience as a business writer for a corporation in corporate Spain, I guess, not corporate America.
they were trying very hard to be corporate America. So maybe I have a taste of it. I'm not sure how well they did.
I don't know either. but we were talking about, you know, how you got started. So share with our listeners, you know, everybody has to start somewhere. In the martial arts, you have to start as a white belt. You know, we don't jump in and we become uber successful the first few weeks that we start a business. So how did you get started in blogging and digital consulting? Excuse me.
Well, it was sort of a roundabout way to it, like all the best stories. It's not a direct one. I am trained as a translator, and that is what I went to university to study. And that is how I ended up in Spain, because being a Spanish to English translator, the best place to get that kind of work is obviously in Spain, when you're in Europe, that is. That's the closest Spanish-speaking country that we have to us. So I went over to Spain, and after a few years working as a financial translator in very exciting times, because that was the credit crunch and, you know, all of that drama, I realized that I didn't want to be a translator for the rest of my life, that it really wasn't catching my attention as a job should, and I wasn't passionate about it. And I thought that if I already knew that I wasn't passionate about my work at the age of 26, that didn't really paint very well for the future. Right. So I took advantage of my situation. I was a native English speaker with good writing experience in a Spanish-speaking environment. So I looked around for a job that required native English skills. Luckily, Barcelona, at that point I was in Madrid, but Barcelona is a huge tech center. All of the tech companies operate through English. So it was pretty easy for me to get a job as a content strategist. I didn't understand what a content strategist was at the time. And I went in there pretty blindly, but really, really enjoyed it because it was a great combination of writing, which I enjoy, and tech and exciting things, which I also got a big kick out of. So in that job, I learned a lot of the basics of being a content strategist. I think at the time I had no idea that the skills I was learning were going to be so useful in the future, but I enjoyed what I was doing and learned lots of new things. So when it came to, I think the fact that when I left the corporate world that I decided to be a freelance writer was a very good example of how much I underestimated what I had learned in that job. Because when I thought freelance, my second thought was writer. And it was only when I really got into freelance writing and started networking with real people that I realized that all of these skills that I had learned as a content strategist in a big company had serious applications out in the wild world as well, out in the real world. Yeah. So that was how I got to being a content strategist and a freelance one at that. But I underestimated what I had learned in corporate life and its application in what I describe as real life. So, yeah.
Wow. You know, and as you're speaking, I'm thinking, I wonder how many of our listeners are wondering, oh my gosh, that must have been an exciting time. But to be honest, we're talking about blogging now, and you know, where do you get started? What would you advise somebody? So you've been in that world, you live in that world now. What would you advise someone who's brand new to blogging?
Wow, it's a huge subject. I think I would say be very clear about what you need a blog for. Blogging is fun. It's popular. There's an awful lot of information and talk about it. It's a very cool thing to do. And people have so many good things to say about blogging, especially in a business environment. But don't get carried away with all of the excitement. If you don't have a purpose for your blog, it's unlikely to be very successful. You need to have clear objectives for what that blog is going to do for you or your business, and then clear goals that you want to meet in order to demonstrate that it is in fact working.
Oh, you know, that's so spot on because, again, Black Belt Sellers, one of the things that we tell our students is that you need to be very focused. We'll get these kids in class and you know, we're concerned about the ones who are looking around and they want to kick and they want to do things because they're the ones that are likely going to either quit, get hurt, and it's because they're not focused on what they need to accomplish in order to get to the next step. You know, some of them, I can tell that there are some kids that want a black belt, and I can tell because they're the ones that practice. But if Right. But if they don't, then they get lost. And you're saying that the same thing happens when people start out in blogging, that it's fun and they're kind of like the brand new kid on the floor. This is cool. And then without clear objective, they lose that momentum and they dive. Would that be accurate?
Exactly. Exactly. They get lost. Because there are a lot of people out there, and you know, not in an entirely negative way, but trying to sell people lots of tools for their blogs and tools to monetize their blogs and to make them, you know, flashier, shinier, more attention grabbing. And you can have some real fun between the writing, which a lot of people enjoy, and then the adding all of the cool add-ons and the services that you can attach to your blog. And they kind of get lost in this world of fun. But at the bottom line, their blog isn't doing anything for their business. So it's easy to get distracted and lost and lose sight of your goals.
That's great advice. Oh, my goodness. I'm just listening to you thinking, okay, what do I need to do? So what are a couple of the top areas that they should be focusing on with their blog? What would you name two or three top areas?
I think the most important areas that I can think of right now, one of them is to have those goals, is to have the objectives, first of all, in they're sort of in more vague terms, what you want the blog to achieve. So that could be, you know, you could want You could want return visits. You could want leads. You could want downloads if that's the product that you're offering, or you could simply want engagement with your audience. And then you have to find yourself some goals that embody those objectives and figure out how you're going to reach those goals. Secondly, I'd say it's really important to have a plan. I don't mean a long-term plan, I mean a short-term plan as to how you are going to get those blog posts online. Because the more complex your business is, the more complex, and this is especially true for smaller businesses that don't have enough people to have very strictly defined roles in the company. So if you're in marketing, there's probably a few people who you can ask that they devote their time to the blog. But if you're a smaller business person, you're doing the marketing and you're doing the sales and you're doing the human resources. So yeah, exactly. So it can be really easy to either get overwhelmed with trying to get your blog online, or to let it go on the back burner, to let it really fizzle out, and a month passes, no new posts, 2 months pass, no new posts. And that doesn't look good for your clients, and it doesn't look good for Google. So you need a schedule, a strategy, a calendar, a physical plan as to how you are going to get these posts up and online and promoted.
Now, when you say that, because I'm a small business owner as well, again, to my listening audience, I'm learning so much just listening to Niamh share here, because I'm thinking, yep, I've been there. I've been the marketer. I've been the salesperson. I am, the human resources. I'm also the CFO. So I'm the financial officer. I'm the ops officer. And then I've also had some challenges. So the small business owner, the entrepreneur, is really this is a real struggle for them. What would you recommend in terms of getting some of those blogs done so that they can get them scheduled? I mean, do we need to set aside maybe an afternoon and just write? How do you help people do that?
I think how people best manage this depends a lot on how much experience they have in writing blogs, because people with a bit more experience can easily sit down in an afternoon and write out at least the skeleton of, depending on the person, but 5, 10, 15 posts maybe. People who are less experienced with blogging are going to have a harder time doing that. So a bit of it depends on your abilities at the moment. But I think the most important thing is to have what they call an editorial calendar, a content calendar. So you create one of these. There's loads of resources online. I would like to say that there's also a resource on my website, but it's not quite online yet.
Okay.
If you Google Buffer and content calendar, they do some great posts on how best to create one of these. Create a content calendar. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can just be an Excel sheet with, the month and the days that you're going to publish, and then the days that you're going to write the post that you're going to publish, or what research you have to do to get it written on that day so you can publish it on the next day. And make sure at the start of every month you fill it in with what your plan is for that month. And at the start of every week, you sit down and make sure that you're on schedule, that you make sure you've got all the resources you need in order to produce the posts that you're planning to produce. Make sure that you're on time and that you're hitting your goals.
It's important
to schedule it in, because I've noticed time and time again that blogs get left to the wayside very, very easily. And I don't blame people, when it's a choice between, getting all of your invoices paid or writing a blog, obviously the small business owner is going to go for the invoices. But if you manage to keep to a regular schedule for your blogging, you will really see the results. You'll really see the payoff. So it's worth being strict with yourself and keeping on that schedule.
Oh, and that's powerful advice. I have another question for you, but I really think this is a great time for us to let you give your offer to our folks, because, I'm sitting here listening, thinking, I really need to get some time with Niamh and to really get my blog, because I have two businesses as well, and to really get my blog in order, to really get this going so that, because I do rely on blogs to relate to my customers, and also to put content out so that, we have things that people can use. So how can people get in touch with you? What could you offer to somebody that's saying, help, I need help, me?
Well, I'm hoping to get far more resources up on my blog in the near future. I'd like to be able to direct your listeners to go to my website, but right now I can't. But what I would like to offer is maybe the first three people to send an email to help@clockworkblog.com, and I will give them an hour one-on-one blog masterclass by Skype or Hangouts or whatever your virtual tool of choice is. And I'll give them, I have a series of events planned, in-person events planned for this fall, but obviously most of your listeners aren't going to be able to make it to Galway. Although if anybody would like to take a little trip to Galway, I will more than happily invite them to my events. But I thought I might condense what I'm planning to cover in this series of workshops into a one-to-one presentation. So the first three people to say help at clockworkblog.com can get that one-to-one consultation with me, where I'll give them all of the information in those courses over the phone.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. So the first three people to contact you at help@clockworkblog.com. Is that right?
Exactly.
One-hour crash course on blogging.
Blogging, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
So blogging excellence, not just blogging. Blogging excellence.
Excellence. Okay. Awesome. You know, and it's so important, because I know that blogging can be a very powerful, powerful tool if it's used correctly and with the right know-how.
Exactly.
So you guys need to get on this, because as soon as I get off, I'm contacting, I'm getting a calendar, because I know I could use help with this. All righty. Well, getting back to, we're just going to talk a little bit about your experience as an entrepreneur. You know, everybody struggles in the martial arts. People think it's fun when you get started and we're all excited. And then we get down to the hard work and we run into challenges. Maybe somebody gets hurt while they're doing something. I remember one time I got kicked in the face and I had a bloody nose. And this was just days before I was supposed to test for a belt. And I had some choices to make. And maybe those aren't as dramatic, but we all have struggles. What was the biggest struggle that you had in establishing your business, especially as you moved from Spain to Galway?
Right. Yeah. I mean, as an entrepreneur, there are little struggles every day. But I think what my biggest struggle was actually coming to the conclusion that I was an entrepreneur and that I could conduct myself as an entrepreneur and not simply as a freelance writer or whatever way I had been marketing myself before. I was born in Ireland in the 80s, and there wasn't a lot of entrepreneurial spirit in Ireland at that time. Your options were you worked for somebody, or you possibly were a small business owner, or what we call a sole trader, somebody who's just employed just by themselves. And the whole concept of being an entrepreneur didn't really occur to me for a very long time. It was only when I moved back to Ireland and started meeting with people and getting ideas from people that put bigger goals and bigger plans in my head that I thought, how can I, a freelance writer, achieve these things? Whereas when I changed my mindset a little bit and looked at it through the eyes of a businesswoman, as an entrepreneur, suddenly much bigger, hairier goals became much more accessible, much more possible. So I think for me, the big struggle was changing that little chip in my head. It was going from being just a freelance writer to an entrepreneur and a business owner. That took a lot of adapting to for me, definitely.
I appreciate your saying that, because I think a lot of us struggle. We kind of dismiss the mindset. We're like, no, I have these big goals and I'm going to make all this money, or I'm going to serve all these people. But then there's that little voice that's talking to us all the time saying, oh yeah, right. Who do you think you are? And it's the voice that actually holds us back. And then when we don't reach our goals, we're like, oh, what happened? I mean, I even got called out on it by my mentor. We were talking yesterday and she said, Anna, where did you... Stop it. Stop. Because even now, maybe you've overcome it totally. But I think a lot of us, even when we've been in business a while, we still have that little voice that talks to us that if we start to listen to it, can be very distracting and discouraging.
Exactly. And it can be a good way of explaining away small failures or little hiccups in the road. You say, well, I wasn't cut out for this anyway.
Right.
That's something that you really have to fight against and say, no, this is simply a little bump in my road and I will continue on this road. So yeah, that's important.
Perfect. Exactly. Well, I'm going to tell you that Niamh and I got to know each other through this little platform called Twitter. So I would never have had the privilege of meeting Niamh. And I'm actually hoping to maybe get down to Galway when I'm doing my whirlwind tour in Ireland starting. So I will keep in touch. But I would never have met Niamh if it wasn't for Twitter. And so, Niamh, what has Twitter done for your business?
Wow, there's a question. Twitter is by far my favorite social network. I think it's a great platform. I've been using it since 2000 and moved through all of its different stages. Twitter, when people talk to me, when they ask me what social networks they should be on for their businesses, I often use the shorthand of saying that Twitter is for business to business and Facebook, for example, is for business to consumer. I think as Twitter has progressed, that's even more true. I think it's great for reaching out to new business contacts, and it's great for networking within your business niche, within your industry. And that's what I use it for mainly these days. And Twitter chats are also very handy. I guess how it's changed is that it used to be a social network where you would have your timeline and you would move through the timeline looking at the different tweets and, you know, catching up on the news from the different people who had tweeted. At this point, it's too big and it's too messy to be able to use the central timeline as your basis for anything. So the way that I've used it has changed significantly, but I still continue to get benefit out of it. Even though other people seem to have abandoned and moved to new platforms, I still think there's a lot of benefit in Twitter.
Now you say that you've changed some of how you've done. How do you filter all of the noise? Because let's face it, I have close to 3,000 followers now. And so there's a lot of noise in my timeline. And to be honest, I don't even really look at my timeline. But what do you do? I know what I do, but share with our listeners what you do in order to really catch up with the people that you're interested in relating to or targeting.
Exactly. It's really hard to filter through all of the noise. Even people who you might like to hear from, you're not going to want to hear from them at every single point of the day. So if they tweet maybe five times, you might be interested in two of their tweets, but not in the other three. I make great use of lists. Everybody who I follow goes on a list related to my interests. Those lists are very specific and quite narrow, so I can make easy decisions between what it is that I want to read up on in that moment. And I keep the lists private because sometimes it's handier for you because the Twitter lists can be private or public. I keep them private so I can put, you know, specific names on them. That sounds like the names are negative. They're not. It's just, you know, if I put somebody in a marketing group and they don't consider themselves a marketer, well, maybe it would be better that they didn't know that they were on my marketing list. And I also make great use of Twitter chats. There's some great ones out there. They're fast, they're furious. I could see how they would be intimidating for somebody on their first go. But I think once you get to them, they're a great way of catching up on industry news, meeting new people, finding out what people are, you know, new projects and new things that they've got going on. So Twitter chats are also very useful.
They really are. And again, that is again how Niamh and I got to meet each other, because we're both in the Women's Inspire group, which I'm going to talk a little bit about toward the end of the show, because it was through Twitter chats, two specifically, Irish Biz Party and Women's Inspire, that I ended up getting an invitation to speak at the Women's Inspire event next week in Dublin. So Twitter chats are powerful, and if people are reticent about using Twitter because of the 140 character limit, I actually like it. because there's only so much you can say in 140 characters. It's short, it's sweet, and it's to the point. But now in the whole thing about networking online, it's so easy to start to be invisible in real life because of all the tech. And you're a very tech savvy woman. You know a lot about tech. It's how you got involved in doing what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. But you've said that you've underestimated in-person networking. Would you mind sharing with our listeners what you mean by that?
Absolutely. I am a stereotypical millennial. I'm an old millennial, but I consider myself a millennial, and we typically don't like to speak to anybody by telephone or anything. We prefer text messages. If we can communicate entirely in emojis, that's just fine with us. And I was definitely of that mindset, much to my mother's disgust when I lived a 3-hour plane ride away. But it was when I moved back to Ireland, and especially when I started communicating with people, and really, I had just come out of nowhere to a lot of, to online, it would seem like I had come out of nowhere, because suddenly my bio said Ireland. So people, you know, Irish people were paying attention to me, but they hadn't seen me for the last 10 years. I was in Spain for 10 years, so I really hadn't been around. And people were interested, but I didn't get any real engagement. It was only when I started networking seriously in person, because I was afraid that once we moved back to Ireland, I wouldn't get any business as a freelance writer. So I started networking a lot then, that people started to connect the online presence to the person. And after I started to network in person, engagement and visits to my website and engagement on social networks just shot through the roof. People needed to make that connection between the person and the profile they see online. People are people at the end of the day. Some cultures more than others, and they really enjoy the personal contact, being able to put a real face and a real voice with the face. So, yeah, that's what I think it's good for.
Well, and to be honest, I actually enjoyed that, because you and I had been, you know, sending tweets and direct messages, and we've been emailing, and then when I finally got to meet Niamh, it was like, oh my gosh, it's like we're old friends. You know, and obviously, if you're listening to the show, we're having a great time. And but it is the human contact. There's no sale that's done. Well, there are sales, I believe, that are done. You know, Amazon, you can sell on Amazon. You can sell on eBay. But the fact is, people need that one-on-one touch with you in order to really begin to build relationship, in order to really begin to get that like grow or the like and trust factor that's so important when it comes to business.
Exactly. And obviously I do a lot of business in a very international context. A lot of my customers would not be in the same country as me. And even when there's not so much of an opportunity for personal meetings, for personal networking, there's a trickle down effect. You know, I do business currently with a French company that are based in Silicon Valley, and they came to me directly because they used to work in an office beside a man that I used to work for in Spain, who I met several times in person, and who really, we have a great relationship, we have a lot of fun, and he seems to have a lot of respect for what I do. And he personally has recommended me to about 10 of his associates because he's met me in person, and that connection is close enough to make me a better choice than the person that they've never met before and that they have no recommendations for. So
powerful. That is so powerful. Again, social media is not about exploitation of technology, as we said at the beginning, but it's about service to community. And ultimately, when you serve people and help them solve problems, then you can reach your goals of making money and living the lifestyle that you want. Now, go ahead.
I'm pointing out that these guys in Silicon Valley, I've never met them. I've only ever spoken to them by email. But because of this little link 5 years ago in Spain, we're now doing business across the Atlantic Ocean. So, you know, you should never underestimate when and where the personal networking might have an influence, might have an impact in the future.
That is so true. Thank you for sharing that. That's really important. We don't understand how it's little things along the way that can make a huge impact and a big difference in our business. That's a really important concept. Now, we're kind of getting to where we probably want to wind down a little bit, but to be honest, you do digital consulting, and digital consulting, that's your other business. So blogging is one business, and then MeveLee.com is your other business. So talk a little bit about digital consulting, and what are some key considerations for people when they want in their digital strategy?
Right. Well, the way the vast majority of my clients come to me, I'm not a website designer. I'm not a programmer. So I don't make websites. What inevitably happens is businesses come to me, they already have the website, and it's just not bringing in as much attention or profit or positive results of any description as they were hoping it would be. So what I do is I go into the hidden depths of the website, and I work out how to make it better and how to make it more productive for that business. That can stretch from web copy to user experience, blogging, social media, how the interface of their app, or you know, the graphical layout of their website is affecting how people move through it. So advice for a digital strategy: start small. Like with blogging, it's really, the tech world is so shiny and designed to bring attention to it. It's very easy to get overwhelmed and to underlie that. So start small. Don't be too ambitious with your website. Get it functioning first, and then you can make it fancy and flashy and add on all of the bells and whistles that you want. Too many businesses underestimate that, and their basic website doesn't really work very well. You know, they're losing visitors. People aren't completing sales. People are clicking on and clicking right off again. One problem that you'll notice that people have is that people land on their homepage, and then the owner of the website will think that there is somewhere very clearly that they want the customer to go after landing on the homepage, and the customers are there going, nope, I don't see anything here, you know, and they're not completing the customer journey that the website owner is hoping for. And that's because there are often little small problems, nothing huge, nothing crazy, little small problems in the user interface. It's just not working for your visitor. So sometimes you have to look at the basics. It's not that you don't have enough pop-up advertisements. It's that maybe the user can't find the button to get them to the next page. Things like that. Very small little things. And that's what I'm on the lookout for when I look at people's websites. It's the small little problems that the website owner hasn't noticed that might be affecting the user experience on the website.
Wow, that's you know, that's important.
I think it's probably worrying, because if you're a website owner, you're thinking, oh my God, what happened? I noticed that might be wrong with my website. That's turning people off. But that's not what I intend to cause people to think when I say that. I just mean, look at the basics. Can people come onto your website and clearly see what it is that you want them to do next, or what they need to do next to complete the desired action on your website? Say you have your website and you want somebody to sign up for a newsletter. Is it genuinely easy for that person to land on the website and then sign up for the newsletter? Or are there little things getting in their way? You know, is the button too small? Is the form too complicated? Is there something else super exciting that's distracting them before they even get to the newsletter page? Sometimes that's something that you're going to be able to judge yourself. And sometimes it might be that something else that you need to get a professional to do, or not even a professional, just an honest, relatively technically savvy other person, you know, a family member, a friend, somebody who can try and do what you want them to do, and you can watch them and you can see where they fail or where they have problems. So that's the first step.
That's good. That's, you know, getting back to the basics. And it's not the big things, it's in the details. Mm-hmm. It's the details. And that lines up exactly with, the whole idea of the black belt. I remember for my black belt, one of the things that really surprised me was I wasn't being taught the fancy schmancy, the triple 720 degree kick in the air. I was taught how to hone in on the little details that would make my overall form and technique better. And you're just saying the same thing for the website. It's not the big things. Mm-hmm. It's the little things that we look at and fix that can be powerful in making the subtle changes that can make a big difference in the engagement that we get on our website. Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And go ahead.
Sorry. It's easy to get distracted when you have a website, especially if, especially if it's your first website or you're new to having an online presence. It's really, really easy to get distracted, and it's easy to concentrate on the things that people make more fuss about, like digital marketing and blogging and social media. But there's no point trying to attract all of this attention to your website if the website that you're trying to get them to focus on is flawed in some way. So get your foundations ready first, and then concentrate, then focus your attention on attracting the masses to your website. But make sure it's a good one before you start attracting their attention.
Well, that is fantastic advice. And I think a lot of us need to heed that because websites can be so sparkly, they can become a shiny object in themselves. And we really need to get back to the basics to get the website mm-hmm. working the way so that it can convert traffic, like you're saying.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I want you to reach out to Neve. She's got this fantastic offer. So would you again just reiterate your offer to our listeners?
Absolutely. So the first three people to email me at help@clockworkblog.com will get a hour-long one-on-one Skype session of a masterclass in blogging excellence, business blogging excellence.
All righty, so that's the first three people, and you'd better hurry up because I'm about to, once I get off here, I'm going to be number one, to go to help@clockworkblog.com and mm-hmm. a masterclass on how to improve your blog. So
exactly.
All of the basics, that's wonderful. Now, I'm sad that I won't be meeting Neve this next week in Dublin. However, if you are in Dublin, you do need to make a point of coming to see me. I will be at the Women's Inspire. I'm one of the speakers for Women's Inspire in Dublin at City North Hotel, October 5th, starting at 9 a.m. I'm very excited. I have this wonderful presentation that I'm going to be doing on the 5 fatal phrases that will kill your sales instantly and what you can do to stop that. And it all happened because of Twitter. I'm going to Ireland because of Twitter. And I'm going to do that in-person networking now that we spoke about that's so powerful. Just for our listeners who have been so faithful to us on Blog Talk Radio on Black Belt Selling, we are going to be making a change over the next month. And so Blog Talk Radio will be our Black Belt Selling, not Blog Talk Radio, Black Belt Selling.
Maybe that's an idea for the future.
Maybe so. But we will be taking a break roughly about 4 weeks. We will be coming back. So keep your eyes. Join us in our Facebook group. It's facebook.com/groups/Black Belt Selling. And you will have the information there about how to reach us. In the meantime, be looking for us. If you know where Stephanie's at, you can get her at thestephanieschellar.com. You can reach me at annaschellar.com. But the best place to find both of us is the Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Black Belt Selling, where you'll hear all the news, and we should be starting back up again the first week of November. Neve, it has been an absolute pleasure having you. I've learned so much. You are just a wealth of information, and you have a lovely smile. It's really been a joy to spend time with you today and to learn more about blogging and digital strategy. Thank you for joining us on Black Belt Selling.
My absolute pleasure. I had a ball. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And that concludes our episode here for Black Belt Selling. I'm Anna, here for Stephanie. We are the Black Belt Sellers of Southwest and Central Texas. Join us again soon. Join us in the Facebook group. We'll be back.